We are green to go.
We are to go.
Let's pray and then let's sing a song or two.
Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thank you for the night, Lord, for light and health and strength. Lord, for the house, the roof over our heads, for the heat in the room, for the bodies in the seats. Please, Lord, bless each one of us this night. Pray for those that can't be here, Lord, or for Pat and Steve. And pray too for those that aren't here, Lord, that you would work on hearts and minds. For all the gospel tracts that have gone out, Lord, for the street preaching, for the words that have gone out, for the personal witnesses, Lord, please, even in these last of the last days, speak to souls about their eternity. And thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son Christ's intercessions for us, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for your word. And Lord, wherever your word is opened in the full counsel of the priest this night, please, Lord, speak to hearts and minds. Give us what we need, Lord. Just love you and praise you, Lord, and all that you've done for us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we have a special duet planned for later on. It'll be Away in a Manger, but right now, at this particular moment in time, we are going to sing hymn number one in the Black Book. It's pretty much going to be a Black Book special this evening. Number one. Number one, A Great Thou Art.
Our great Thou art.
2 for us. We're just working our way through these in chronicle order. Chronological, I mean, it's one of those words I was looking for. Chronic is how I've been feeling a bit late, but chronological is in order. In chronological order, or just order in hymn book, hymn number 2, this blessed old book. Hey.
Judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up for God, is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of the dead and living. For why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at night thy brother? For he shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me, to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with his thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one man edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offence. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. As thy faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, that he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen.
Indeed. Amen. Is that a break from the norm or a break for the norm? Thank you for the reading. There's some excellent verses in there, especially when it comes to people getting bent out of shape about somebody eating meat or somebody only eating vegetables and this, that, and the other. It says, as long as you're happy in yourself, just let it be that way. I like meat and vegetables. I like them all. I'm an equal opportunities eater. Lot to be said for it. Just want to remind everybody, make sure you get one of those wee prayer lists, if you would. Does anybody have any... You have Mrs. Bradley.
Mary Ann broke her big
toe. Oh, we'll put that under Will. You heard that Mary Ann broke her big toe. Mary Ann, you know Will's granny? She broke her big toe, so pray for her.
She has something more.
You must have been fairly motoring to do that. Although, have you ever stubbed your toe? It seems like Armageddon has fallen, all those stars and explosions behind your eyes. I think, is there anything else we need to add to this for this evening?
The Bonner family?
Oh, yes. If any remember Courtney and Megan, not Courtney and Megan, Caitlin and Tony, their granddad passed away. Pray for the Bonner family, if you would. That was John Bonner, wasn't it?
I think it was.
All right, please do remember that. Private prayer requests. Everybody still got private prayer requests? I know I do. Monica does, Lynn. Do you still have private prayer? Norman?
John. If there's nothing else, we'll leave it at that. And just have the only thing that I have extra here is to not whenever you're praying for Norman, pray for a Spanish legal team. Everything else is just as it was. Oh, and thanks for work, said Lynn. So those are the only things that are different. I read out all those, and they'll be incorporated for the next printing of the prayer list. So please do remember that. But appreciate prayers for Monica's mom over in the States. She's still suffering a lot of pain with the compression fractures in her back. So please do pray for that. It's definitely not pleasant. It's not something you want to be looking at 81 years old. So pray for Pat Hain. Very nice lady. Very nice lady. Best mother-in-law in the world. Not just because she lives in America. Very nice. She even let me use her frying pans and stuff whenever I was in America. So there's something godly working in there. Let's pray
would
then.
Would appear to place, I have a good friend, Wilmer Kilpatrick. I had a stroke.
Right.
And he's not in a good way of going at the moment.
Let's put that on the ours. What do you call him?
Wilmer. W-I-L-M-E-R. Kilpatrick. He needs all the prayers that we can pray.
Okay. All right.
Just a prayer tonight, would you?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's close your eyes and bow our heads, and then we'll pray. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. This is just a wee bit in the service where we just have our shopping list of prayers. And I pray, Lord, please, for each of the people that's mentioned here. First one, of course, is that acquaintance of Dad's, that fella, Wilmer Kilpatrick,
yes,
that had the stroke. I pray, Lord, please, that if they're not saved, you would save them and put someone across their path that knows you and will point them to the foot of the cross. I do pray, you too, for Norman's legal team, and it was ongoing legal challenge with his stepson for Mark Willington. Please, Lord, just work in his life as well. And we remember Mary Ann and her toe. That is not funny whenever you hurt your toe, even if it's only a stub, but to have it broken, I'm sure it's just constantly nagging at her. Please, Lord, I pray you, give her a wee portion of grace and healing and help her, Lord, as she, well, she gets back on her feet and moves around. Remember as well, I think it's John Bonner, Lord. I pray you, Lord, for the whole family, for Debbie and Dawn, Tony and Caitlin, and Ethan and Holly and Philip and Jordan. I pray you, Lord, for the whole family at this time, that you would put your good hand upon them. Lord, at this time when hearts are tender and spirits are low, I pray you for an opportunity to speak to them about their eternities. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray you too, and thank you for especially for, well, for work, for Lynn's work, Lord. I pray. It's nice to be able to come and say thank you for what you have done. In fact, it's just good manners, and forgive us where we've done. But I thank you for all your answered prayers, Lord. Pray that you wouldn't be done with us. I pray you, especially at this time, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Marie and Harry, for Terence McLaughlin, for Norman and John, for Jane and Corey, for Michael and Krista and their kids, and for Henry and Evelyn. Pray you too, Lord, for Owen and Louise, for Adele and Jade, and for Tracy, for other souls that have heard the gospel preached up at the present link, for the leaflets that have gone out, for Will as he travels, for Pat and Steve as they reside at home, for Pearl and her recent exposure to COVID and her recovery, and for Alan Leslie, Lord, for all of those souls that we help and minister to. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon them. Pray too for Charlotte, for Colin, and for Joe. And we pray, Lord, for souls everywhere, Lord, for those that have slipped and slid to be restored, and for those that aren't saved to be saved. Such a need, Lord. Please be with people as we head into Christmas. We love you and thank you. Lead these things to your feet, and Lord, we're just glad for it. It was good to see Frank. It was good to see Will out as well on Sunday. It's good to see Pat and Steve today. I pray for these souls, Lord. please, Lord. Don't be done with any of this. We love you and thank you. Pray for our brothers and sister churches, wherever they might be. Pray a blessing for them. Pray for safe travels this coming Thanksgiving. And Lord, for just a precious time aside from the world. We love you and praise you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will. Amen. Have a wee special now, my dad and and Monica are going to be doing a wee musical rendition of Away in the Manger. 412, I think it is. If you want to join in, you don't have to, but...
I'm sorry, 433.
Amen.
may be seated. You can put your hymn books away for a little bit. If you'd like to join me in Ezekiel chapter 10 this evening, Ezekiel chapter 10, and I want to take a few minutes on the subject of beyond us in Ezekiel chapter 10. There's 22 verses in Ezekiel chapter 10. I'm going to read them all. I want for you to understand that this is probably one of the most, we'll call it mind-bending portions of God's Word, this, an earthly description of a heavenly creature that seems to defy comprehension. And I want for you just for a few minutes, I know sometimes it's hard to follow whenever someone else is reading the Bible, but read it yourself at the same time and follow along with me and see if you can get a picture in your head of these cherubims that are mentioned a few times in the book of Ezekiel. We're speaking on the subject of beyond us, and we're in Ezekiel chapter 10. This is what the Word of God says. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass, when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the colour of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, the four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that the four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel! And every one had four faces. First face was the face of a cherub, the second face was the face of a man, and the third face the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar. And when the cherubims went, the wings went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wings also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house, and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings, and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wings also were beside them, and every one stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Every one had four faces apiece, and every one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man were under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward. Amen. I hope everyone read along there, and did anyone even the faintest idea what those things look like? They're creatures with four wings and four faces, and somewhere in there there's wheels within wheels, and there's eyes everywhere on them. They sound. I know there are people that have attempted to render these in a picture so that we can understand them. But there tends to be not quite any picture that properly describes them. And I'm going to mention this now. These were creatures that Ezekiel saw. They're mentioned in the very first chapters of Ezekiel. These are creatures that Ezekiel saw when God was dealing directly with them and had them in a vision. And these are creatures that we will never see until we stand in glory. And whenever we do, we'll say, that's what a cherubim looks like. But as Ezekiel was trying to describe them to us, it's almost like looking at the church from standing right beside the gable wall and just thinking that the church comprises just one wall of corrugated steel, because we can't see them properly, but more than that, we can't understand them properly. They're, in effect, from the words of the title of the message, I would say they are beyond us. But only for a little while. Because someday, like I said, we will see them and we will say, of course that's what they are. Everything is so simple and so straightforward. I don't like, as I read the Bible, not giving even the most difficult chapters a fair shake in a sermon. I don't like to leave portions of God's scriptures out, because we need them all. But as I was reading this, I thought, Lord, please give me something to speak about for this chapter. It's a bit tricky. I don't want to have to go through and say, well, the weeds mean this, and the eyes mean that, and the faces mean this. That's like trying to say your arms mean this, and your legs mean that, and your head means something else. These are our creatures, God's creatures. But they're the description of them. Imagine trying to describe the glory of God. Amazing supernatural creatures with a mind that doesn't even have the experience of the things that we have today. And just even in that same vein, I have a handful of things that seemed beyond the people that wrote them in God's Word. Years and years ago when the Bible was written, they were beyond them. And I just want to go over them and, if you like, almost imagine a conversation that the Lord may have had with his prophets. These are only in order of recollection for myself. They are not in any chronological order. They're not in any biblical order. They're just as I recall them. The first one, most of these actually in Revelation, one or two of them is in the Old Testament, but the first one I have is in Matthew 24. Now, Matthew 24 are the words of Jesus Christ, and he related this to men like you and I, but to men that haven't had the amount of information that we have available to us today. We live in the days that Daniel mentioned. Was it Daniel 11 or Daniel 12? And he said, knowledge would be greatly increased. And it's almost like wisdom has been exponentially decreased. Jesus said to his disciples, there's going to come a day when, if I didn't come back to this world to save all the people in it, that everybody would be dead. Everybody. Now, when Jesus was speaking these words, he was speaking to people who maybe, if they had had the most effective weapon of war on the day, they could have maybe shot an arrow out of a bow for 300 yards, the length of my lane. And somebody that was really good at it could probably have hit the target at the end of it. I can barely do that with a rifle. But there are some guys out there who are very good with a bow and they could do that. So imagine trying to tell someone that the most effective weapon they can hold in their hands is a bow and arrow, that not one person would be left in the world. And they'd be saying, but Lord, how is that possible? Who would be crazy enough or have weapons enough, and what would be the point in killing everybody on the face of the world? What would be the gain? It doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, I'm telling you this, I tell you what, why don't you write it down? Because even though it's beyond you right now, there's going to come a day when it will make perfect sense to people. We live in these days, and as far as this goes, we've lived in these days for about 40, maybe 50 or 60 years. We live in the days when if someone pressed the wrong button, everybody in the world could be killed. With our atomic weapons, with our bacteriological weapons, and with our chemical weapons. Could you imagine trying to explain that to someone who has never seen bacteria, who doesn't know about the nerve agents that they keep in canisters, that doesn't know about the splitting of the atom? Imagine trying to explain that to someone. And Jesus, I can almost imagine Jesus saying, Matthew, who wrote it down, said, what does that mean? Jesus said, Matthew, just you remember that and write it down. It will prove itself to be prophetic in years to come. And Matthew and Mark and Luke would say, certainly, Lord, we'll write it down. It's not beyond us now. Because we have the benefit of all of the scriptures. We have the benefit of technological advances. And we can see that Jesus was talking about these things 2,000 years ago when they weren't even a dream. As we go on, we come to one of my particular favourites, which is in Revelation chapter 13. When God was speaking to John in his vision in the Isle of Patmos, and John said, you know, I saw a picture. A man took a picture out of his pocket, and it was alive. And John was saying, how does that happen? Lord, what does that mean? That picture's alive. It's moving, it's talking, it's speaking to the person. How is that? I can almost see God saying to John, John, just write it down. It's beyond you right now. But there will come a day when it will be so common that people won't even think twice about it. And for the past, 15 or 20 years, people have been able to take a picture out of their pocket and talk to it, and talk to them. In fact, they've even got computer programs now that can use that very technology, and there's not even a person at the other end of it. They've got artificial intelligence. This was nearly 2,000 years ago, and it was beyond John. But it's not beyond us. As we step back a chapter or two in the book of Revelation, we see in Revelation chapter 1 that the Lord is going to come back in the clouds of the sky and every eye will see him. And for us in Bethel, I've referred to this in years gone by. But if something happened over the town, does anyone remember the fireworks display? Did you get to see it from your house? Can you see the fireworks display from your house, Ken? We get to see just over the hill. We get to see some of the highest fireworks when we look out of our bedroom window. About that much. Not that much, about that much. And only the folks that's really on the water side and the valley sides of the water side and in the city, and a few of the people whose view is unobstructed, they're the only people that get to see the fireworks. We can hear the bangs and the thumps, can't we? So we know that it's happening, but if you asked someone in Limavady, did you see the fireworks in Derry? They'd say, no. how would you expect us to see the fireworks in there? Well, you could if you wanted. You get someone on your phone and you could see the fireworks anywhere in the world on your phone, because we have a global communications network. Elon Musk fired how many thousands of tiny little satellites up into the sky, and we can have broadband anywhere in the world. Whenever Russia or the Ukraine was monkeying about, and I think some of them were giving him a hard time, he flicked the switch and all the global communications quit. Was it in the Ukraine? You don't mess, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's just rank stupidity. But back in the Lord's day, it was like asking someone in Limavady, did you see the fireworks in Derry? And they'd say, of course we didn't, it's too far away. But the word of God says that every eye will see the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's, how long have we had global communication? The military have had it for 60 or 70 years. The internet was actually built on the back of a robust nuclear EMP hardened communications network. How's that for a little bit of information? DARPANET and one or other of the nets. This stuff was in the Bible, and Jesus was showing this to John, and John was saying, but how can people all the way around the world, how can they see Jesus when it comes back to Israel? And Jesus is saying, look, don't you worry about it right now, it's beyond you. But someday the people will look at that and understand completely what it says, and it won't be beyond them. That's not beyond us. We use it so often. Monica talks to her mom and dad over in China. Lynn talks to her in China, in America. Lynn talks in China to her friends in China from Derry. They're not using a couple of yogurt cartons and a piece of string, and they're not using carrier pigeons. They're using a global communications network. And it was in the Bible. If we were to read on, Revelation has the best ones. If we were to read on in Revelation, this is in Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, and 20. It's quite a lot. Has anyone ever heard of the mark of the beast? We've all heard of it. It talks about you getting it in your right hand or in your forehead. And I don't know what it is, but this is what I believe it is. It'll be like the wee RFID chip you get on some clothing items or expensive items, that you can't push it out through the doors without the alarms going off. And people are going to say, but how is that going to affect us? Because what's something else that everybody carries but a mobile phone? And you say, but I'm left-handed. Well, if you're left-handed, you'll be getting the mark of the beast in your forehead. And you hold your phone up to it, or you put your earpiece in it, and it clicks with your RFID chip, and all of a sudden your phone works, and whoever, they know where you are, what you're doing. And the Bible says you'll not be able to buy or sell without. And anybody that takes the mark belongs to the devil. And someone was, I have seen, I don't know if anybody here has seen the old film, The Mark of the Beast, that came out about 40 years ago, back in the 70s. That's nearly 50 years ago. And they were running around with little barcodes stamped on the back of their hands. Now that's a mark. That's on your hand, but this is mark in your hand. And this was imaginary. This was wonderful 50 years ago. But should have been using these things in pets for the last, 20 years? You put a wee chip in underneath the skin, and all they do is wave a wee wand over it. They know everything. They know who the dog is. They know who the owner is. They have a list of its inoculations, its injections, its treatment. It all hooks back to you. This, and people were, but how does a mark in the back of your hand enable you to buy or sell? How does that work? Jesus, I can almost see Jesus saying to John, look, John, It's beyond you right now, but believe you me, there's coming a day when people will see that and will understand, hey, that's talking about an RFID chip or something like that in the back of your hand. And that was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. If we come a little bit, I was going to say a little bit more up to date, but actually a little bit further back than that in Revelation chapter 9. Here's one that people have puzzled about for a little bit. When it talks about this great swarm coming up out of the bottomless pit. People used to say it's helicopters. People used to say it was planes. People used to think it was some supernatural creature. I'm not saying what it is, but I'm saying this is what it could be, given our modern knowledge. It could be swarms of drones with a small anti-personnel weapon on each one. And they have been talking about these. If you look on the internet, you can see drones that are programmed to act like a swarm, pretending to be fireworks, pretending to be just writing messages in the sky. And these things can operate for half an hour on a battery charge. And it's no, they've got cameras on them, they've got IR sensors on them, some of them run with guns. And it talks about so many things in there about these, it talks about them having teeth like a dragon in the face of a man and all this, that and the other. And they make a loud noise like an army. And if you can imagine a swarm of bees and maybe a swarm of locusts and then a swarm of these wee helicopter things, it could be that. And if you read the description, it seems crazy what John wrote down for them. But as we look at it now, I can see John saying, Lord, what is that? And the Lord just said, write it down, just whatever comes to your mind, whatever it reminds you of, write it down. There will come a day, it's beyond you now, but there will come a day when people will read that and say, that's what that is. If we have a wee look at Israel, way back in Jeremiah's day and Zechariah's day. And Jeremiah was being spoken to by God, and God said, Jeremiah, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down that Israel will become a nation again. And Jeremiah said, but Lord, Israel is a nation. Just you write this down. It'll become a nation again. In troubled times, I will bring them from the north country and the south country, from the east and the west, the maimed, the lame, the whipped child, the old and the young, and they'll come with rejoicing. And Jeremiah said, but Lord, we're still a nation. Even 500 and 600 years after Jeremiah wrote that down, Israel was still a nation. But whenever they rose up against Rome, they literally sealed their fate. They were scattered to the four winds, and they remained in separate countries all around the world, but as a distinct people. They had their own customs, their own language, even though they blended in and they contributed to the societies that they lived in. Even though they were horribly treated in Europe during the Second World War, as Hitler attempted to stop biblical prophecy happening, every time he squeezed tighter, all he did was forge a harder soldier and a harder citizen. And they, at the end of the war, they came back to Israel, the old and the young, the maimed and the with child, in greatly troubled times. 2,500 years after that was made, after hundreds, maybe even 1,000 or more years of not being a country. They're called Palestine. And this only happened 75 years ago. And Jeremiah was saying, I don't understand. And the Lord said, Jeremiah, it's beyond you right now, but there will come a day when it will be perfectly understood by the people. I have instances in Isaiah chapter 5 where God was speaking to Isaiah and said, write these things down. The world is going to be topsy-turvy, upside down. People are going to call good evil, and people are going to call evil good. And if that was all that was wrong, that's in Isaiah 5, Isaiah 6 is worth a read as well. But everything is turned upside down. We have children that want to tell their mummies and daddies what to do. We have mummies and daddies that act like children. We have men that want to be women. And we have women that want to be men. And the doctors stand up saying, we are gods, we can do whatever we want. They will take the knife to anybody and try and force them to be like that. And now we're having people that have come through what they call gender reassignment surgery, but basically mutilation, saying, I made the biggest mistake in my life. I will never be able to have children because no one sat down and told me to wise up. We live in these days. We live in the days when the man standing behind the pulpit many times won't tell people they need to get saved. They're traitors. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We live in the days, as I can see God speaking to Paul whenever he said to Timothy, he wrote in his letter, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be proud, covetous, boasters, unholy, unthankful to parents. They'll be mockers and scoffers, despisers of those that are good. And I can almost see Paul saying, but Lord, how would society work whenever most people behave like that? How is society going to flourish? Families will fall apart if people behave like that. And yes, there will always have been people that will have behaved like that. But it used to be ones and twos. When I was in primary school, and you're going back now nearly 50 years, that's scary. 50 years, and I'm only a young fella. When you go back 50 years, there was one family that I could think of, that I knew of, that where the mother and the father weren't getting on. One family. 50 years ago. And now it's everywhere. Simply because people have abandoned God's teachings. And Paul would have said, but Lord, the whole world will turn to anarchy. Families will fall apart. Children won't be raised right. There will be disease and madness at every turn. And do you know what? Paul was absolutely right, but Jesus said, you know what, Paul? You can't. That's beyond you right now. You can't understand that now. But there will come a day when people will read that and say, that's the day in which we live. A day in which the land of saints and scholars, this ground that we stand on, used to be one of the greatest Christian bastions in the face of the world, now will murder a baby with no penalty. And guess what? Canada is now talking about bringing in euthanasia for people that are mentally ill. And before long, if it comes in as voluntary, it'll soon be compulsory. Canada is talking about introducing euthanasia for people that are maybe a bit depressed or feeling a bit down. Paul, I am sure, rightly said, Lord, but that's just crazy. Why would a society be like? We live there. Is our society working? The people that are running it they're as crooked as the people that are locked up in jails. Do you know what? They're not. At least the people who are locked up in jails are honest enough to have been found out and admitted their guilt, and you know they're bad. But the people that's making the laws, they're as crooked and evil as the day is long. These are the days that Jesus describes. These are the days that we live in. Who would have thought, even 30 years ago, who would have thought that the world could be like this so very quickly? In the days where those that are charged with the running of the countries are running the countries into the ground and padding out their bank accounts. When those that stand in the pulpits are traitors to the cause and refusing to tell people what it is that they really need. They're just telling them enough to bring them back next week, keep the coffers full and keep the people stupid and scared. When men are being made into women, they're being made soft. And women are being made hard, and that just doesn't work. All these things are in the book for people today to see and to realize, hold on, we said, those words were written. I think the last words in the book of Revelation were written about AD 80. So that's just about 1950 years ago. These things were written down. Perfect descriptions of impossible devices, weapons, and technology from men who, for whom the height of technology was what? A carrier pigeon. There's a great little verse in the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse number 9. And I think it applies to this. It says, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God reveals these things to those that love him. And that's where we are. As we read and as we study, as we follow what God says, portions of the scriptures will open up and we will say, that's what that means. To me, this proves that this book is the most important piece of literature on the face of the world. And it also says to me that even with all of our, I was going to say all of our wisdom, but all of our knowledge, and all of our, in quotes, understanding, and all of our wisdom, that there are still things that we can't explain in this world. There are still things that we can't fathom in this Word of God. And I always get a kick whenever a wee light bulb moment switches on in my head and I understand, oh, that's what that means, Lord. And I look forward to that for all of those things. Sadly, most of the stuff in the book of Revelation is going to happen when we're looking down at it from heaven, and a lot of people's going to experience them firsthand, but I look forward to the understanding and the reading and the study. God loves us and he wants the best for us. And so, a book that will never lie to you is the Word of God, the King James Bible. And it really behooves us to read that book that God prepared for us at the cost of so many lives and has preserved for us in the face of so many healers. Loves us the best. It's the Word of God that will give you the power to overcome and to persevere. And it's well worth getting to know. Thank you for your good time and God bless you. I think we have a closing hymn. We want to take our wee black books, but I'm going to sing one of the Christmassy ones because it's 4.5 weeks till Christmas. There it is. Hymn number 71 in the wee black books. We'll stand as we sing, O come, Emmanuel. Let's stand as we sing number 71 in the books, O come, Emmanuel.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
that one. It's quite a long one, but there's something about it. I just like it. Amen. God bless you. Safe travels. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Don't forget and pray for each other. I don't know about you, but I like to think that my name's being called out in heaven, even if it's not by my wife, for the wrong reason. Let's close your eyes and pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and watching over us, for seeing us through this little bit of time in your word, and just reminding us how wonderful you are and how amazing your word is written. Please save more souls, Lord, and please look after those that saved already. Please speak to us even now in these last of the last days. I love you and thank you. Pray all of this in our private prayer requests, Lord. In your name, pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship for a little bit. We are finished for the season.